In this week's parasha, last week's parasha, I guess we can't pass over the famous Rashi. Rashi quotes from the Medrash that "Bechukosai Teilecha." What does it mean if you go? Dr. Rashi said to Amelim B'Teira. So it's a very difficult Rashi Medrash to understand. What exactly does it mean by Amelim B'Teira? Secondly, doesn't answer the question. Rashi was bothered with the question. What does the word "Bechukosai Teilecha" mean? It can't mean mitzvahs because it says at the end of the pasuk it's mitzvah Teishmeru. So it means Amelim B'Teira. So Reb Shteinman asks. He says Amelim B'Teira is also a mitzvah. So back to square one. We're talking about doing mitzvahs. So obviously the answer to that is that Amelus B'Teira is a different level of mitzvah. It's even a different concept of the mitzvah. What exactly does Amelus B'Teira mean? Does it mean just learning Torah? Clearly Amelus B'Teira means something more and deeper than the simple mitzvah of Talmud Torah. The Taz to his Pirush and Shulchan Aruch, Simon Mem Zayin learns that Amelus B'Teira means working hard for Torah. He writes, that's why the Nusach and Berachas HaTorah we say is La'asik, to be busy. You got to toil over it. It has to be work. It's not supposed to come to us easily. Easily, whatever comes easy is no good. You got to work and break your head and try to figure out what's going on in the learning, and that's called Amelus B'Teira. Based on this Taz, we can answer up a famous kasha that the Medrash tells us, Rashi quotes in the Chumash, that when Yaakov and Esav were together in Rivka's stomach, so when they went by, basically by the Zara, Esav wanted to leave. When they went by Yeshiva, Yaakov wanted to leave. So many people asked the kasha, Vad Yosef is one of them. He says, where was Yaakov running to go? He had a great chavrusa. The Gemara says it needed it. You learn with a malach. Where does Yaakov need to go? He's got the best chavrusa in the world. He's going to jump out to learn with a mortal. What does he need this for? So some answer, Oyle Rosh, Oyle Shechina. He had the best chavrus in the world, but he was sitting next to his brother Esav. Even though it's a big musa lesson when you're talking about in yeshiva, you can have the best chavrus, but if you're surrounded by bad people, it might not be the right yeshiva for you. But the answer is based on this taz. No, Yaakov Avinu didn't want to learn being fed to him. The malach doesn't give you the right to fight back. When you learn with the malach, you can't tumble back and forth with the learning. The malach tells you all the facts. Reb Chaim Volozhin says about the Gra. The Gra was offered many times for the magid to come learn with him. No, they bring down the Beis Yosef used to learn with the malach, and many people had malachim come to learn with them. The Gra turned him down. The girl said, no, thank you. I want to do it on my own. I don't want to be spoon fed the Torah. I want to work on it myself. So this was one idea of Amelus B'Teira, that a person says, no, I want to work on the Torah. I don't want to be told the answer to the question. I don't want to be told the problem in the sugya. I want to work it out myself, and I want to come out with a conclusion. I think there's another element of Amelus B'Teira that I think we do here every Sunday morning. Amelus B'Teira is going beyond the simple understanding of the Torah. Torah Shabbat Peh is a specific mitzvah. The Medrash tells us that Kadosh Baruch Hu desires Torah Shabbat Peh. What's so special about Torah Shabbat Peh? Because Torah Shabbat Peh, we have the power to delve into it onto so many different levels and try to figure out what is meant by this line, what is meant by this statement, what is meant by this concept. Right? We have the power to get into the depth of what the Torah wants and what Chazal are trying to tell us. The Chavetz Chaim was bothered. We say when we make a hadrin, for those who just finished Daf Yomi, we say, Anu ha-meilim v'heim ha-meilim. We work and they toil. We toil. We get reward, they toil, they don't get reward. Ask the Chavetz Chaim, it's not true. Workers today toil and get paid also. No one doesn't get paid. A guy works, he puts in his amount of hours, he gets his minimum wage, which today is a lot of money if it passes in all states. You get a lot of money. What do you mean? So the Chafetz Chaim says, no, you're right. Of course, if he does his job, he gets the schar. But he gets no credit for effort. In Torah, we get credit for effort. We can spend 5 weeks here trying to figure out a ketzais, come out, we don't know what the ketzais is talking about, we don't know what he means, and we still don't understand how Gerushin works. And the last 5 weeks, we're not wasted. It was Lamafreya, we got reward for trying to understand what the Torah meant. As opposed to someone who works and he doesn't come out with the outcome, he doesn't get paid. That's the difference, says the Chavetz Chaim. Anu ha-meilim, we try, we toil, we get tzchar, even if we don't come out with anything. We still don't understand how Gerushin works. We still don't know if you're kainah to get, you're not kainah. We still don't know. Adayim Ezeh, we still don't know. I definitely still don't know. And still, we're going to get reward for it. So most people would come in and say, you wasted the last 5 weeks. You didn't come out with anything. Where's the maskana? What's the halachic ramifications? That's Amelus B'Teira. You keep on learning. Even if you don't have necessarily a clear-cut answer when it's all over, because that's what it means to be Amel B'Teira. I think Amelus B'Teira goes even further. Amelus B'Teira requires that we have to be consistent in what we do. That's what Amelus B'Teira is. Limud HaTorah means to actually learn the Torah, which is a big thing. But Amelus B'Teira is to be consistent in one's learning. And this comes in two forms. Either those people that are consistent in learning on a daily basis, whether it be with the chavrusas, whether it be with the shurim that they attend, this shir or other shurim, where I find it always astonished, the attendance here is always consistent. There's always people that don't miss, no matter what's going on in the world and their family lives, they come, because that's their daily schedule. That's what it means, Amelus B'Teira. There's another type of Amelus B'Teira. When a person doesn't stop the learning, today it's very hard to learn more than 5 minutes straight. Because you get an email, and you get a text message, and you get it. It's just hard. I'm not belittling it. So Amelus B'Teira means you have to be consistent in the learning. I'm going to learn for 15, 20 minutes without being interrupted. Nothing is going to stop me. Nothing's going to get in my way. Uninterrupted amounts of time. That's Amelus B'Teira. But what's interesting about this whole tumble about Amelus B'Teira, look in the pasuk. Pasuk says, "In b'chukaisai teilechu, you're going." So I saw once a pshat. I think it's so beautiful that amelus b'toyris for those that are teilechu, for those that are on the go. For a yeshiva bach who spends 6-7 hours a day learning Torah, to say he should be amal b'toyra is an understatement. Of course, that's his job. That's what he should be doing. But the pasuk is telling us, for those who are teilechu, for those of us that are on the go, they're not learning a whole day. They're going out into the world and they're working and they're on the move. For them, they have a mitzvah, amelus b'toyra. That's what it means. For those people, they can't be learning a whole day. But what does it mean to be amelus b'toyra when you're working? It means that what's on your mind, what's going through your head, what are you thinking about? You're thinking about the sugi you learned yesterday, this year, you heard last week, or a concept someone threw out to you. I'm always amazed throughout the working day when I'll get messages from people from this year and from other shurim and other people about, I just saw a taisvist that's relevant to something we learned about Sunday. Or I had a question with someone, told me this is not true and that's not true, this mutter, that also. In the middle of the working day, you think people have work to do. I'm the only one who doesn't work. Everyone else has jobs. Right? So I have free time to sit and learn. But it's amazing to see that that's what's important to people. That throughout the day when they have to do what they need to do and they're busy with it, but what's important to them, what matters to them is the Torah. And you see it when they come to Shurim and they attend learning, and it's value to them. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves it so much. When we show Hashem that this is really what we want to do, but we have no choice. We have to provide for our families. Rabbi Chanan used to say, when a person goes to the bathroom, it's not Oyver Bittul Torah. This is the mistake a lot of people make. The Chiyuv Talmud Torah is only when you can learn. Because Baruch Hu doesn't expect us to learn when we're not allowed to. Either it's because we're in the bathroom and you're not allowed to learn in the bathroom, or because we're not allowed to learn because we have other responsibilities. I used to have this with kids in school. They used to want to know, can they, you know, skip out on tests? The answer is absolutely not. You have an obligation to do what you need to do. If that means taking secular tests, if that means going to class, you have to do that. There's no head to learn during class. But the point of the Chiyuv Talmud Torah kicks in when I have my free time. What do people do on their free time? Like a nice, good Sunday morning where you can do a lot of fun things. People come to learn Torah. That's what the pasuk is telling us. In and you see from the pesukim in the Torah, the brachas that we get. Torah says the wonderful things we can get for what? Not for keeping mitzvahs. Rashi says this is not for mitzvahs. This is just this element of being amal b'Torah. And really, Taisva says in Megillah, we really should read parashas b'chukaisa right next to Shavuos. Why do we interrupt it with Bamidbar? The answer is because we have the Teich at the end of the Torah, where the Torah tells us we're not so good about this. And the Mefarshim point out, how does a person come from being, you know, at Har Sinai, hearing Kabbalah's Torah, to being so far removed? He says it's a slow process. It's not overnight. A person starts saying, why don't I need Amelos B'Torah? I'd be happy I'm learning Torah. So I'm not breaking my head over a tzais, but at least I'm learning Torah. And the next week the answer is, you know what, I'm not even learning Torah, but you know what, I'm a good Jew. And the next week, you know what, I'm a good person. And slowly but slowly we find ourselves, and that's how during Chorban Bayis Rishon, the Bnei Yisrael got so far removed, they ended up being a Dar of Avodah Zarah, where they had no connection to Hashem at all. So therefore, you know, we think it's not such an important thing. You learn, you don't learn. I'm sure most people think this year is a little crazy. We don't even learn anything. What do we have to show? At the end of weeks and months, we only have a few lines of a Gemara and a couple, papers that I hand out over here. But that's what Hashem is telling us. And this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves. The Medrash says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves the type of style of Limud HaTorah, of Torah Shebaal Peh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to delve into His Torah, to understand His Torah. Because by doing so, we give value to His Torah. It's important to us. If it wasn't important to us, we would just move on. And because we're showing it's important to us, that's why Hashem loves it so much. And that's why He showers us with the brachas that we read in last week's parasha, if we'll do His mitzvahs and learn His Torah. Okay. If we left off last time in the Gemara, it's a good introduction, because this week there's a lot of things I definitely don't understand. A lot of things I don't understand this week, and I'm not even going to try to understand it. But okay, we'll try our best. The Gemara, we left off in the Gemara, where the Gemara told us that there's two places in the Torah where we learn the idea of Kinyan Chatzar. One place is by a Ganiv. If a Ganiv steals something, and instead of picking up the Gzeil and putting it in his pocket, instead what he does is he brings it into his backyard, or he brings it into his car, or he brings it into his chatzar. So that's one type of a kinyan chatzar. And there's another case by get. The person throws a get into an isha's backyard, whether it be her backyard, or be a porch, or be any possession that's considered hers, she's also a kinyan. So the Gemara had a kasha. Why does the Torah have to write both these places? So we started off last week, we saw that if the Torah only wrote one, I wouldn't be able to learn one from the other. Why not? So the Gemara says that this number one, v'tzricha. The iash mean a get. If the Torah would only write this by get, Mishum zebal karcha migarsha, because gerushin is bal karcha, and since gerushin is bal karcha, that's why chatzah works. Avol ganav deleisa bal karcha, but ganav which is not bal karcha emolai. So we spoke last week heavily about how this works out with tikkatzais. So I found that Rabbi Chanan Wasserman asks a different kasha on the Gemara. In fact, Rabbi Chanan in number two, he says v'tzarech bir. The beloy hitzvichusa hechayisa havamina numa ganav miget leshayich lemeilav memoyne meyasura. But the Bukhana, an interesting question. We have a principle in Shas Again, it really needs more delving into, so to say, when exactly we say this and when we don't say this. But there is this a principle in Shas. We don't learn out monetary rules from rules that are basically isur. So asks Rabbi Chanan, if that's the case, how can you learn out ganiv, which is a mominous thing, from get, which is an isur thing? They're not comparable. You can't learn out one from the other. That was Rabbi Chanan's kasha on the Gemara. So he says, 1 second. But if it would be true that the woman had to actually be carrying the paper, so then it would come out, says Rabbi Chanan, that every time you're doing a get, even though the chalois that you're doing is a chalois iser, but there is at least an element of mamonis. Where's the element of mamonis? She has to acquire the paper. So if she has to acquire the paper, so it's somewhat similar to mamonis. Even though, again, this is where I don't understand this so much, because when we say we don't mean the mechanics of how it works. We mean the chalois that you're trying to do. A chalois that involves isser is fundamentally different than a chalois that's all about money. If that's the way you learn b'mayne mesur le'afinon, so what difference does it make if she has to be kainah to get? It seems like from Rabbi Chanan that he's assuming if there's at least an element of mamonis in the equation, something similar to mamonis, that would then give us the right to compare one to the other. So Rabbi Chanan says, so what was the hafamina? So the truth is, you can be a shtickle, you can pshetel, as we say, and that's good for the Gemara's answer. Mishum de bal karchehi. What does it mean it's bal karchehi? No mominess in the world works against the person's will. You can't buy and sell things against your will. So when the Gemara answers that gets bal karchehi, that's really a fancy word for saying that it's isser. Oh, so if it's isser, memayne misuli afin. I find it hard to believe that that's what the Gemara meant. I think the Gemara could have said it in simpler terms, like the Gemara says in many places in Shas, memayne misuli afin. If that's what the Gemara meant by us, I think the Gemara chose maybe not the right wording. But you could shettle that. That's good for the Gemara's answer. That since gets bal karche is a tip-off. According to the Tzai's, bal karche tips us off to say that there's no kinyan. Maybe you could say differently, bal karche tips us off that it's only isser. And not mominous. Oh, so now we have memayne misuli afin. I think that's a pshetl. I don't believe that when Ravina and Rashi wrote down the Gemara, they actually meant that. But okay, you can pshetl. But Sakhtar Rabbi Chanan said, how do you answer his kasha? How do you deal with this problem of memayne misuli afin? So the truth is, there's a Gemara in Bal Metzia. The Gemara in Bal Metzia we spoke about, Daf Yud, the Gemara in Bal Metzia. The Gemara in Bal Metzia says, can you acquire an aveda in your chatzah? Can I use my chatzah to acquire an aveda by a ketana? So the Gemara has a whole discussion. Do we learn Aveda from get? We don't learn Aveda from get. Just like a girl acquires a get, an Isha, a Ketana, can use her backyard to be kind of a get. Can this same Ketana use her backyard to be kind of an Aveda? So the Gemara is Machloikis. The Gemara says, Ma'asova, one opinion is we learn Aveda from get, and one opinion is we don't learn Aveda from get. So we spoke about last week. How can you learn Aveda from get? Why? What would be the problem of learning Aveda from get? So we would say the problem is Bakarcha. That's the Kasha, that's the Achrayin Mav. The Nesivis, that's the Kasha. Rashi in Bal Metzia doesn't learn the Gemara that way. Rashi learns the problem is memayne me'asur le'afinu. That's why. The reason why you wouldn't be able to compare an aveda to a get is because one is a memayne and one is a sura. If that's true, so then it's shven this Gemara as well. Just pointing it out. Now, when the Gemara in Bal Metzia says you can't learn an aveda from get, the Gemara doesn't say why. You could say any pshat you want. You could say because it's bal karcha, like the Gemara says over here. Rashi there says the reason why you can't do it is because memayne me'asur, but it doesn't have to be that that's the case. But whatever you're going to say over here is going to have to be plugged back in Bal Metzia. So Rabbi Chanan gives a teretz to his kasha, how could you learn out memayne misur? And he answered like this: the efshir loymer, the kibun the af began of loy lamein a kainis achifetz. So to Chanan, unbelievable insight, which we'll see in a few minutes. Salvechik also says in a different piece of the Gemara, we have all this misunderstanding about ganav. We keep on talking that a ganav needs a kinyan. What's he kainer? What do you mean he's kainer a ganav? He's a ganav. He's a robber. He's not kainer anything. In order to own things, you have to have legal rights to them. How does a ganav get a kinyan? So what does a ganav need? Ela beinan she rakshi roi le kinyan. All the ganav needs is that he's doing an action that if this was in a different setting would create ownership. He's never really getting ownership because he can't own something that belongs to something else. Like we learned in Kedushin, you can't marry a woman who belongs to someone else. You can't own something that belongs to someone else. So what's this whole conversation about a ganav being kain or something? He's not really kain it. It's that if this exact action would be done in a different setting, that would be enough to make him the owner. So here also, that type of action that you do with an object of stolen, we make it yours. What does it mean we make it yours? It means you get to use it? No. It means if anything happens to it, you now have responsibilities for it. So therefore, imken, you're talking to Ayafuse Mehasam Dukemoisha beget, Shein Tarech Liknes Mahani Bignev Chatzer Kafifa. So then now the drush is like this. The same way, by Ganav, you're not really kain it. You don't have to be kain it to get. We know you can even do it against the will. The answer is the Torah says put it in an area that normally is used for kinyan. So same thing by Ganav. Now, how does that answer the question?
Ganav's not kain it.
Not really.
That's
afterwards. That's Yish and Shinu Rishus. That's post the Gneva. We're talking about right away. A guy walks in and steals something. So we talk about Kinyani Gneva. Kinyani Gneva means he's not Chayiv Vanerim. If I walk into your backyard and I steal something and then an earthquake happens, I'm Chayiv. Well, what do you mean? Well, I didn't do anything. The answer is I did this thing called Kinyan Geneva. I made a Kinyan Geneva on it. What Kinyan did I make? I can't acquire things that aren't mine. So there's a Chiddush Akra, which we'll have to talk more about today, that when you become a Ganev, you somehow acquire the object. So Zakhtar Abachan, you don't really acquire it, because you cannot acquire something that's someone else's. So what does it mean you acquire? It means that this is considered enough of a Rishus that Kinyanim are doable. So therefore Zakhtar Abachan, and that's Pshat in the Gemara. That even though Get and Ganev are not the same, but they share the same similarity. The similarity that they share is they're both not really making Kinyanim, but they're both being to Rishusim that need Kinyanim. Now how does that answer the Kasha? If the Kasha wasn't one of Mesul Le'afinon, that there are different types of Chaloisim, so how exactly do you answer the Kasha? Not really sure how Rabbi Chanan answered the kasha, but it's just an interesting point that he brings up over here. That why don't we ask that there's something fundamentally different about Mamonos than there is about Is? Okay, let's read on in the Gemara. Then the Gemara flips the tables. The Gemara says, "V'yesh me'inin ganef." What would happen if there'd only be one place in the Torah that I know a concept called ganef? Now would be by ganef is chotzim. Mishum the konsei rachmana, because the Torah canonizes him. Avaget a maloit zrich. So if Salvechik explained the Gemara like this, what's the difference between a ganef and a get? He says that by a ganev, back to the same idea of Rabbi Chanan. This concept that we all think that a ganev actually acquires the object is not true. A ganev doesn't acquire anything. So what's the whole idea of a ganev? What does the Torah mechayev me for? So the Torah is mechayev me for when I take something out of someone else's possession and I put it into my possession. Not because I'm coin it, not because I own it now, but that's what stealing is. Stealing means the transfer of an object from one's possession to a new person's possession. That's all the Torah requires when it comes to a ganev. The Torah doesn't need you to own it. What the Torah needs you by a ganev is to do that action. That action of removing objects from his possession and putting it in my possession.
So somebody steals from a ganev, something from a ganev.
Right, that's the whole
thing that the ganev stole.
Right, that's the whole sugya of a ganev and a ganev. What happens then? Now, the maskonah, we know that you do have these kinyanim. He's going in the havmin. All the Torah told me was that a ganev steals through his backyard as a ganev. It's not because he ever acquires the object. You never acquire stolen objects. How does it work? The answer is because look at the situation. I have your object in my possession. That's a ganev. Ganav is not so lumnish that it has to work with kinyonim and rules. It's the fact that I took object out of your possession, it's now in my possession, I have your thing, I'm a ganav. So that would have been the havamina. The havamina would have been is that there's no kinyonim happening by chotzer. Kinyon ganav is not a kinyon. It's the reality of me having your thing in my possession. I will get, but when it comes to get, loy, by get the terraces of Anasim Biyot, they got to put it into her hand. So this is not her hand. So that's how Rav Salvechik understood the havamina of the Gemara. Why ganav would be different than get is because ganav is b'chol not kinyonim. How does ganav work? Ganav works when you physically take something out of someone else's possession and now you control it. That's what a ganav is. Forget the fact that you own it, you acquire it. Those are irrelevant. The point of a ganav is similar to Rabbi Chanan. The point of a ganav is someone who takes something out of someone else's possession and brings it to his possession. Whether or not halachically he owns it or not is irrelevant. So therefore, if that would be the case, then you don't have a right to learn out that kinyan chatzar works. You don't say that a chatzar acquires it. You don't need acquirement by a ganav. All you need to do is to do this act of taking it. That's how if Salvechik explained the havamin of the Gemara. Right, so the flip side would be is that the Havamino is Avo Get, Emaloi, but Get needs a Kinyan.
And Kinyan can happen then Baal Korcha.
Right. So then you have to get back into how to learn all that stuff with the Ketzais. He's focusing on this the piece of the Gemara, that Ganav Mishum the Konsei Rachmana. How do you read the words Ketz-Knas? What do you mean it's a Knas? The point is it's a Knas because you really never acquire it. Geneva that you're Chayiv is not because you actually acquire it. You never acquire it. It's a Knas because you did a bad act. What was the bad act that you did? You took object out of his possession and put it into your possession. That's a bad act. That act that the Torah makes you a ganef for is not really true, because you're never really acquiring it. So why does the Torah do it? So, Knosse, the Torah gave you a knas, because you did a bad act. That's how he explains the Gemara. I will get a maloi. So now, tzricha, whenever we finish one of these Gemaras, you have to figure out, so what's the maskana? Is the tzricha that this whole lomdus is not true, the tzricha that this lomdus is true, and still you need a pasuk that we can discuss. But that's how we understood the line of the Gemara, that ganef is a knas.
Can we say that the chatzar is the key here, that it's not... not a kinyan necessarily. The fact that because chatzar works by ganav somehow, but we say it'll work by.
But how? Or not much how, but what is happening by ganav? We have to break it down. What's happening? Is the fact that he's actually acquiring the ganav? So if he'd be acquiring the Geneva, so then it's a good comparison.
Yes, but not through a Kinyan.
Right. So that might work out nicely with the Ktsaisis Torah. That same thing by Ganef. By Get. The Get is acquired without a Maisa Kinyan.
Right.
It somehow becomes yours without you actually making a Maisa Kinyan.
The Chatzar has this special status.
Right. Lefiza, you could take a learn it. The same way we learned the Ktsais, you could learn this also. That would be a nice Shtickle Torah in the Gemara.
So if Get needs a Kinyan, it seems to me the Kinyan has to be acknowledged, correct? Meaning that both parties have to know, by definition.
Okay, we'll get to that in a second. We're gonna see such a concept like that in Rishayim in a few minutes, which Pashas Shana Bitzah, but we'll talk a little bit more about that in some of the Rishayim that we have today. We started talking last week about Rashi Shita. Another Shver Rashi in the Sugya, another Shver Ktsois, we'll blame this on the Ktsois as well. Right, number three, Rashi says like this. What's the difference between Ganev and Get, like Rashi? Avo Ganev d'loy mechayiv yishadji inish b'akorche. By Ganev, I can't be chayiv for Gnev against my will. Get, I could be chayiv. Get does work b'akorche. So what's like Rashi? Eima midait inami leitikne lechatzeve. I would say that Chatzer doesn't work for Gnev even when I consent to steal it. And loy moshach. Unless I do some form of a better ma'isa mashicha, another kinyan. For example, the stolen thing comes into my chatzar and I close the door in front of it. So Rashi seemingly added three words. Right, Rashi is trying to describe what kinyan chatzar would have looked like. Kinyan chatzar would have looked like is that something comes into my chatzar and that's it. Comes to my chatzar, I'm crane it. Rashi adds two words, the na'al b'faneha. And you close the door in front of the stolen thing. Let's say we're talking about an animal, right? I steal an animal. And instead of actually picking up the animal, somehow I get the animal out of your possession, and now it's strolling down the street. I help it, again, pushing it might make things complicated, but I somehow help along its way, shoo it into my chatzar, and now it walks into my backyard, and I'm thrilled, and I'm happy that it's stolen. And according to Rashi, that's not good enough. I have to first lock the door. No, I lock the door, now kinyan chatzar works. So the Ktzois in Simen Shin Mem Ches, number four, the Ktzois is bothered by this Rashi. He says, why does Rashi add those two words, no'al b'faneha? What do you need that for? Kinyan chatzar works because the thing is in my possession. If it's in my possession and I want it to be kainit, I am kainit. Why do I need to close the door? If an aveda walks into my backyard, if I'm watching an aveda roll down the street, a basketball rolls down the street, makes a turn into my backyard, and now it's sitting in my backyard. I know it's an aveda, there's no problem with yirosh, the owner was me, yayishved, all bamitzi is solid. And I'm sitting, I'm thrilled to death I have a basketball in my backyard. Do I have to close the door? Of course not. Why do I have to close the door? Kinyan chatzar, again, assuming the chatzar is guarded. Obviously, if the chatzar is wide open, so then it's a chatzar she'ena mishtameres. That's something we'll get to later on in the parak, that the chatzar has to be protected. Just like your hand is always protected. You're always in control of your hand. If you have an open chatzar, if I own a courtyard somewhere in the middle of the country, and no one watches it, it's a free-for-all. Anyone comes in, goes, does what they want, but it's technically under my name. So I can't use that for kinyan chatzar, because it's not mishtameres ladait, it's not guarded under my control. But let's say I have a chatzar that I'm guarding, I'm standing by the door with a gun, no one can come in. But I never close the door. So you're going to tell me that in that case you're not kind of aveda? Why not? That's kinyan chatzar. Chatzar means an object comes into my possession, it's mine. So the ktsais is bothered. Why when it comes to gneva does Rashi say no b'faneha? But when it comes to aveda, that wouldn't be the case. Now the truth is, it's not just Rashi here. And Rashi in Bam Mitzia, Daf Yud says the same words. This idea that you have to close the door. So the ktsais wants to know, why does Rashi feel that you have to close the door? So there's a Dr. Ktsais number four. Mashma, the nichnas ha-meyatz melushusai. If the animal or the object would come into your possession on its own, and you want to steal it. We're not talking about a case where a guy gets stuck with something stolen and he didn't want it. He wanted to steal it. He had all the intentions in the world. He just never did anything. He was a passive ganav. He will not become chayiv as a ganav who's just thinking. We're talking about the chutz is guarded. Why? Why not? With just thoughts, you can't become a gazlan. Achiyasa maisa, until you do an action. This is the famous ktsois everyone quotes. The ktsois says you need to have a maisa gneva. In order to become a ganev, you have to do an action. Okay, right now, but for now, just like Rashi says, you got to close the door. In the exact same case, it would be a lost object, you'd be cutting it 100% without touching it. But when it comes to theft, there you got to do an action. Or you actually bring it into your object, into your possession. Two choices. Either do an action on the chatzar or actually bring the animal in. That's why in Shulchan Aruch, it writes, how will you become a ganav through your chatzar? If you bring in the stolen goods into your chatzar. So the Tzitzis is bothered. Why do you have to be machneset? Let it come in on its own. Says the Tzitzis, this is a riot to what we'll call Shittas Rashi, that you can't become a ganav through passive action. You can't become a ganav. You can only become a ganav by doing something. The question is why can't you become a ganav by being passive? So you're talking because then it comes out that ganav could be a lav shame by maisa. It comes out that ganav is a lav shame by maisa. So it's not a gay because you don't get malchus anyways ganav because it's a lav anita klase. But you can pshetl and different sugyas and chas maybe that it comes out if the tzais wouldn't be correct. If the tzais was wrong, then you don't need a maisa. So a person could be a ganav by doing nothing. So that would make ganav one of those things that are aimed by maisa, and maybe that's problematic. The Ktsois brings a riot to his Yisoid. Besides for Rashi, which he's a riot from two Rashis, and by Rashi and Gittin Rashi Bam Mitzia, he brings a riot from a Mishnah. What's the riot from the Mishnah, Zok Ktsois? There's the Mishnah in Bam Mitzia, the end of the fourth parak. What happens if I'm watching an object for my friend? My friend says, do me a favor, I'm going out of town, can you watch something for me? And I decide, sure. But halfway in, I decide, you know what, I'm done with this, I want to become a robber, I want this to become mine. I want to own it. So let's say the Mishnah over there is talking about you're guarding a barrel of wine. And you decide, you know what, instead of being a shomer, you want to be an active participant. You want to take some wine. So the Mishnah says, depends what you did over there. If he was hitias achavis, if let's say I tilted the barrel without ever lifting the barrel to get some wine out of it, and I got a revius of wine out of it, so anything that happens to that revius, I'm responsible for. For the rest of the barrel, I wouldn't be responsible. For meaning, if let's say an oinus would come to the rest of the barrel, I wouldn't be chayfer. But if I were to lift up the whole barrel with intent to steal the barrel, and then I put the barrel down, and then it gets hit by lightning, I'm chayv for the whole barrel. That's the chiddush called shlichus yad. When a shomer decides that he wants to use something that he's guarding, it's a parsha Torah called shlichus yad, and shlichus yad you chayv oinz. So frektik tzoyz, what's the difference in the Mishnah? What's the difference between lifting and picking? The Torah says, because when you lift it up, you make a ma'aseh gneiva. You make a ma'aseh gneiva, you chayv for everything. When you just do hitiya, you just tip it out. That's not a ma'aseh gneiva. You didn't lift it up. You didn't do a ma'aseh kinyan. So if you didn't do a ma'aseh kinyan, you're not chayv.
Only on the
point that you actually poured out. That you did a ma'aseh kinyan. So Zaktik Tzoy says, it's a beforeish Mishnah. I have a Mishnah Bamatzir that clearly tells me that you can't become a god of unless you do this magical word called the ma'aseh gneiva. Okay. So let's say Nanech the Tzoy is right in the Zariah. But still, what's the reason? This is something that bothered me a lot this week, and I didn't get much answer. What's the svara for such a thing? You need a ma'aseh gneiva. What does that mean? Why? If the act of stealing is the idea of owning something that was once someone else's, or holding something that was someone else's, so if my chatzar is kainer for me, so then in essence I own something, or I have now in my possession something that was someone else's. Why shouldn't that suffice to be a ma'aseh gneiva?
But in general, we know that mitzvahs are not like Hashem is counts it machshava tov. But he doesn't count
a machshava rav. No, it's not a machshava. This is not just a machshava. I want this. Machshava rav, I mean, if a guy thinks, you know, it would really be nice to be a bank robber, but he never goes and does anything about it because he's scared. This guy wants to steal, and he wants to steal. It was easy for him. He didn't have to do anything. It was a passive act.
But it's not just between him and the Kodesh Baruch. There's a Beis Din involved. You know, there are going to be physical consequences on earth regarding what you did. And but, if what you did could either be you were innocent,
to
your property.
So we're going to see that in a second. We're going to see in some Rishonim, and they make the argument that this is not lomdush. This is practical. How are you ever going to be mechayev a guy? How do you know what's in his mind? But the Ktzayis, I think, bypassed this problem. The Ktzayis said, Afal gav, umizchavan liknoisa likzela.
That's the point, but we don't know what's in his heart.
Yeah, and he can't be.
I know it doesn't sound like from the Ktzayis. Yeah, the Moed Knas is going to be a problem. It doesn't sound for me when I read this Ktzayis. I thought the Ktzayis was kind of pushing that to the side and saying, "Listen, don't get me involved with the reason for this whole Ma'aseh Gneiva is for practical purposes." So we know that's not. How do we know? I'm not sure. How do you know this guy wants to steal? He makes a loud announcement in front of two Eidim. I want to steal. I don't. Maybe I hear. But
maybe it's telling the words ma'aseh gneiva. Does that make sense? Does anyone say that? You know, is that I have to do some kind of ma'aseh?
Why?
The fact that it just comes in.
Why? Yeah, that's exciting. I want to know why.
No, because you know, when the Torah is mechayev you for stealing something, you have to steal it. You have to do
why?
Something.
Yeah, that's the words. I want to know why.
What do you mean? Because
you change the status of the
ownership. By ownership. If you assume gneiva is prohibited, and this is where we're going to probably have to understand the ktzayis better. If gneiva is the fact that I now own his thing, because the Torah is mechayev that chatz is a way of kain it, so I own your thing. And
maybe because the Torah says v'gonami beisu ish, that you stole, you actually did a ma'aseh gneiva. You had to do something, not that it was done and it happened to come into your property. And
yeah, I think that's the words of the Torah. I just want to know why.
Maybe because you're doing two things here. Not only is the chefza, that's now a gneiva, but you yourself are becoming a god. To make the person into a god, you need more than just a machshava. Because they're not communist Ladina. If he's a Gazan, he's possible Aedis, all these things.
That's true, but if
so
you
to make him into that, you need more than just a Machshava. Machshava could work on the Chayfetz, but not on the
I would have assumed that he becomes this when he steals a Chayfetz. A person becomes a Ganav when he officially did the sin of stealing. How do
you
do
that? The thing could actually be the sin is stolen and he's not a Ganav.
Okay. I think everything could be true because I really don't understand. I was up very late Thursday night trying to find this, and I searched in my Yitzhar Chacham, which is terrific, to try to come up with an answer. And I was so happy because I finally found the Minchas Asher on Parshas Kedoshim. From all places, the Minchas Asher and Parshas Kedoshim. Rashi Weiss had a piece about it in Parshas Kedoshim, and I thought he would get into this, and I was so excited. And I read through the whole piece, this and that, and he doesn't exactly get into the lumnus of it. Instead, he deals with sources in the Torah. Where did the Ktzayis get this from the Torah? Forget the lumnus for a second. Who told the Ktzayis he needed a ma'aseh gneiva? So you have right from the Mishnah. Rashi. Okay. Rashi, Mishnah. So we'll get to his Pshatim a little later. But I was hoping someone would get into the nitty-gritty lumnus of this. what does this mean to be a Maisik Neiva? I think you have to explain it is that the idea of stealing is based on two parts. It's based on owning and taking it out of his possession. A big element of a theft is removing it out of his possession. But the Torah, for some reason, and this I don't understand why. Again, I'm just repeating the words of the Torah and the words that many of you said 2 minutes ago. It seems like from the Torah that in order to be considered a ganav, you have to do this action of removing the object from someone's possession. When you make a shinu harishus, when you take it out of his possession or out of his control, that's what the Torah holds as a part of the ma'asik neiva. It's two parts. If you just take it and you don't make any kinyanim, you're also not a ganav. And you also have to be kainit. But if you just kainit without that, you're not a ganav. So it seems like from the Torah, again, I'm not claiming to understand it.
Not to make it crazy, but what if you're kind of like a Robin Hood? So you don't touch the animal, you entice it with
right.
food.
So we're going to get there.
And then you have it into somebody else's.
So that's a machlokes
rishonim.
So the argument that one can make is you didn't really take it out of his possession. You did an action that might have caused or led to that to leave.
No, you definitely took it out of his possession, but you didn't ever.
Right. You're saying right. So I think it's pasha that in order to become a ganav, you have to have both these components. You have to do the action, and you have to have the kinyan.
No, but I'm saying that this ends up in somebody else's.
Right, so that other guy can't be chayiv for the kinyan.
But are you chayiv for being a ganav? Because
you never made a kinyan as well. So that's why you have to have both.
Is there a din zochin then?
No, he does not. He's not kind of it. He doesn't want it. Again,
is there any kind of a middle ground when we only talk about ganav? If I have somebody else's property. And the ball goes into the yard.
Yeah.
I know it's not mine.
Right.
Okay? But I haven't done anything.
Right.
Okay? I now assert possession over it. I now use it. I still know it's not mine.
Right.
Isn't there something that would require me to return it? Irrespective of that, I don't have a double penalty. Meaning, the ganeva gives a certain status. But isn't there a status... that would require me to return something that's not mine, even though I didn't steal it?
Yeah, that would be a Shavas Avedo, let's say. That would be a different mitzvah in the Torah. But what you're trying to figure out, how does a person become a ganav? How do you get this label of a ganav? Which is, again, a serious offense.
You have to do a ma'asik
neiva. That's the words. That's the words of the Torah. So you got to do a ma'asik neiva.
You have to demonstrate that you're a ganav.
I guess that's the idea.
The way to do it is by...
You have to do some form of a physical... Yeah.
Because it's canonical, because we're making it that much more difficult, Torah makes it more difficult to do that. They don't say that person's basic thing, but they don't want that. They don't want that to happen.
But you
want to
make sure he's...
demonstrate, you know, that they're really...
So you know he's really that bad.
But Donald Kass
looks. Right. Yeah, we're going to have to plug that back into the Gemara. Yeah. Again, I think everything could be true. Yeah.
Something that David said is very interesting. I don't know if he was getting exactly on this. What if you had two people together?
Yeah.
I enticed it into my friend's chutzner, and he wanted to steal it. So I never heard of it, and I closed the door.
That should
but
be told.
It went into his chutzner. I did all the actions. He didn't do any action, but he had the machshava to steal it.
Yeah.
We're in cahoots.
I think that would be telling this choice, 100%. This will be telling this choice. According to the choice, you need to have both elements. You need to have the ma'asik neiva.
If the same person, you have both elements, but it's from two different people. Uh-huh. I let it into your rishus. We together want to uh-huh. steal... Reuven's animal, Levi and Shimon uh-huh. want to steal it.
You want to know
the bread or the meat and entices the animal into Levi's chutzner and shuts Levi's door. Levi didn't do anything, but he had his chutzner.
And you want to know? Can you divide the process of gneiv into two parts? I think it's debatable. Again, if I understood better this din of the tzais, I think we could. But I think that would be enough kamina. Yeah, there is an element. So let's talk a little bit more about this ma'isa. According to the tzais, and the way I read the tzais, it sounds like to me that this is alam de shavar. This is not a yediyah ba'alma. This is a din in the Torah that to be a ganav you need a ma'isa gneiv. However, if you look in Rishonim. I think in other Rishonim, it's not as extreme as that. I don't think they're as lomdish as the Tzais makes it out to be. For example, if you look at number 5, the Ritva, and the Chdusha Mechtaviyad of the Ritva. It's probably not the Ritva anyways. Probably a Talmud of the Ramban. But okay, whatever. It's one of the Rishonim. In the Ritva Mechtaviyad number 5, he writes like this. Miu gabi ganiv einoi chayiv kishenichnesa l'mishusoi. By ganiv zok the Ritva, Talmud of the Ramban, we'll call him, unless it goes into your possession. Ela imkei no'al b'foneha. You got to close the door. So he's mechavet to this Rashi that you have to close the door. Why? The mucha milsa de beritzoinehu. Because then we know that you want it to happen. So here he sounds like he's saying...
practical thing.
Practical. The same outcome of the tzais, but for a different reason. He's not saying you need a maisig neva because it's some lomdusha term called maisig neva. He's saying because practical. You have to know the guy wants to steal. You can't be chayif neva if you don't want it. How can a guy comes home from work one day and he finds all these stolen goods in his backyard? You can tell me the guy's chayif because of chatzar? The guy's not interested. He's a good Jew. He doesn't want to be a robber. But because it's stuck, I'm going to be kind of bakarach. It can't be. So Zakhtar Ritva, how do you know you want it? By closing the door. Now, the fee this, if that's true, you can do it in other ways. I make a big declaration. I want to be a ganef. I want to steal. Would that be called a maisig neva according to the tzais?
Yeah.
According to the tzais?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not sure.
I just have another fundamental question, because you were saying before that there are two elements of the maisig neva. One is you have to take it out of the person's possession, the rightful
owner. Right, right.
And then you got to somehow make it yours. Your position. Okay, fine. But what about in a case where you wake up in the morning and it's in your chatzer, right? You don't know whose it is. You just know it's not yours. So you don't have the element of removing it from somebody else's
correct.
Possession.
Right.
All you have is if you close the door, you've now asserted
right. So the
control over something that you just know is not yours. Is that a maisig neva?
Yeah.
If I didn't take it from anybody, you don't know how it got there. You don't know whose it is. For all you know, it might be Hefker.
Right.
How
right.
is it a maisig neva?
Well, let's go back. According to the text, closing the door, what does closing the door do?
Is that locked after
the... we're going to get to that. We're going to see some machlokes
v'shoyin. I'm keeping it.
We're going to see some machlokes v'shoyin. Is that what that means? Is by closing the door, you're making the statement that I want to be a ganav, or by closing the door, you're making... Again, think about it. You're not making any action to the ganeva. The maisig neva is to the chatzar.
And I'm allowed to close the door.
If you're allowed to close your back, you can close your back door. For we know you close the back door because you don't want the neighbor coming in. So it's a funny thing, according to the text.
Are you mechuyif to remove it? Let's say someone falls in. You want to close your door because, like, you lock your door at
right,
night.
Right.
So are you mechuyif to remove it before you lock your door?
Right. Again, this might be a little easier if I understood the text, why he felt you need to do this, or why Rashi felt you need to close the door.
It would be also to do because you still have, once it's an Aveda, you have a chiyuv of
a shomer. Right.
It will come a shomer. And therefore, once you have the Aveda and you have to watch the Aveda,
you should be closing the door.
Because now you have to watch the Al Shomer Aveda.
You really don't know what I mean.
Unless you hold that it's not considered a Pshia and you hold the only Shomer Chinam. Depending, right? Depending on how, you know, where your chutz is situated. Yeah, you're
even
right.
Even if you're a shomer chinam, you have to take a base. You have to don't
you can't
have
be,
that basic.
Yeah.
So you have to close the door.
Right. Assuming again, I don't know exactly where this chutz is situated. If a guy lives in a backyard where he never locks his doors, I'm sure there are people that don't do that. They don't lock their doors at night. Now, they feel like you're in a safe community. And yesh lo, then if that's considered a pshia, I'm not sure. That might be negligent also. I'm not sure. Right. So that's Ritva's point. Ritva's point is whole lomdusha nabla for nail is not a lomdusha point. It's a practical thing. You have to relay. So the Ritva felt that's the best way to relay the message. What happens if the guy screams from the top of his lungs, he puts up a sign and says, I hinani mochan umazuman, right? Puts on his garth and he's ready to be mechavet to become a ganef. Would that also be good enough according to the Ritva? I think so. I have no reason to think not. It's more chamilsa. But the problem is with this Ritva is when you get to the end of the Ritva, you see that can't be the case. Because you read the end of the Ritva, Ritva says, okay, fine. So up to Ritva, what about by get? Do you have to close the door by get? Let's stop for a second. Do you have to close the door by get? Why on earth would you have to close the door by get? According to the Ketzais, there's not even a Havamida. Why on earth should you have to close the door by get? What's the svar?
Shows that at least she realizes that it's there. It shows some kind of mindset.
She doesn't need that. Right? She's not involved by get.
No, not involved, but you got to be midah. She has to know she's divorced.
Yeah, you tell her. You tell her. She's divorced. Fine.
How is she divorced?
You tell her. You let her know. You put it on Facebook. She reads about it in the morning, right? Like everyone else does.
She could turn
it. It's not Mr. Maris, you mean?
Yeah.
Right. So then let's assume that, like the Tzais told us, that it's possible to have the door open and still be Mr. Maris. She's standing there. She's standing there watching this whole thing. Zog to whoever got to get, kivin should be yodoy, balkorchoy, bechatseir loy be'in on ila. Since get works balkorcha, that's why you don't need her to close the door. Again, if you go on like the Tzais, that you need a maisig neva, what's the shaila by get? Why would get need it?
But is that the same thing, acquisition and geneva, and the status of geneva?
Okay, if there's a din according to the Tzais that you need a maisig geneva, is there a din you need a maisig kinya by get? No. You don't need anything by get.
So
why on earth should get even have come into the conversation? Or even more so, let's go the other way. If the pshat is like, because mucha milsa means you just have to know what's going on, she doesn't have to know what's going on by get. What's the ganze kasha? Why did Tzvo even bring it in? Gabi Getz. Getz not even in this conversation.
But he's agreeing with it. I'm sure
he said. Right, I'm just not sure what he needs to speak out. So it could be that the Tzvo was bothered that maybe the way Kinyan Chotzer works is there's a din. That in order for a Chotzer to work, you have to be aware of it. You have to be aware and knowing what's going on. It's not good enough that it happens and you're not there. You have to do some form of a muchacha milsa.
What was the havamina that you don't, that the woman doesn't have to be aware of the get as long as it's in her possession?
Because if you hold, the only reason why you need to close the door is because you need this din by gneva called a maisa gneva.
Oh,
a get doesn't need that.
So the husband drives by and he throws the get into the chuzzah,
right.
like the newspaper.
Like the newspaper. She's standing there, right. She reads it, and that's it. We're good.
No, I'm saying. So that's like, but she has to know that she was, that a get came into her chuzzah.
Right. Well, why does she need to close the door?
Why does she even have to know?
She might have to know. That's a shy.
If you hid it in a false
the Gemara,
in her house, and she
that's
had no
right.
idea it was there.
The Mishnah talks about cases where you give her a document. You say, okay, here's a legal document, and it's really a get. Or you tell her, here's the newspaper, and it's really a get. Right. So the Gemara says she has to know about it. But she's standing by her backyard. He throws in the get. He screams from the car, here's your get. Nice knowing you. And she stands there, and she, you know, she's happy, sad, whatever her relationship is like. And she never does anything. She never closes doors. She never does any action. So Dr. Ritva, but maybe you would think that that's a problem. She wasn't nal b'fanesh. She didn't close the door. No, it's okay because it's b'karcha. What do you mean? Why do you need to close the door by get? But what would it accomplish? It would be a maisa what? You don't need any maisa by get. So again, I'm not sure what the Ritva means exactly over here.
When you steal something, do you have to, either for yourself or for the world, show that your kavana is that you wanted to steal?
I think it's bashed. You can't be chayv if you don't want to steal. You're not chayv
bakorcha. So maybe this is what's showing it.
That's what possibly.
You know, this
but
is
he speaks that out now. But he says mischav in the knoisel exil. We know that's what you want to do. We're not debating that.
No, but maybe you have to show people that.
Maybe there's such a din that in order to become a ganav, it has to be goli viyadua.
Well,
maybe.
Right. I mean,
yeah, I don't know
maybe,
why.
Maybe the Rebbe brings up the gap because without it. You might think exactly the point that maybe she doesn't have to know. She's not standing there. Her chatzar is her possession. You throw it in. She doesn't know about it.
Right.
And therefore, did she acquire it?
Right, but he's not addressing whether she's there. He's addressing whether or not she has to be noble for now. He's addressing the one issue. Does she have to close the door or not close the door? So, I don't know. What does the closing door issue have to do with a get? It should only make sense by a gneiv, according to the tzais. So again, I'm not sure what to make of this ritva. But there is definitely a shitas we're showing him. Before we should be showing him number 6, the Taisis and Baba Kama. I thought we'd get through all of this today, maybe not. Okay, Taisis and Baba Kama. That's how Amelos Bater. What are we going to do? Taisis and Baba Kama, number 6. Very important Taisis. Taisis writes on the Gemara that we read in Gittin, same Gemara and Baba Kama, that you could become a Ganav through your backyard. Zok Taisis Pirish. Shegondvu biyodei mamish. You could either be a Ganav by stealing with your hand. Chatzeroi. How do you become a Ganav through a Chatzer? Zok Taisis Kloime Shehekisha bimakel. You hit the animal with a stick. From the courtyard of the owner. And then enters into your backyard. So the Taisvus. So the Achreidim Amadai from this Taisvus. Number 6, top right corner. Number 6.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's it. When you do Marmikam, it's after 1 o'clock at night. This is what happens. Okay. So what does Taisis mean when he says, Hekisha b'makal? You hit it with a stick. What are you hitting the animal with a stick for? Why do you hit the animal with a stick? The animal goes into your backyard. So the Achreinim, Abis Zalman, the Imre Moshe, the Shmuel Rezovsky, the Gedolei Achreinim, Amadai from this Taisis, that Taisis also holds you in a Maisik Neva. You got to hit the animal. You got to do something. It's not enough for the animal just to wander into your backyard and you say, oh, lucky me, I have a stolen animal. You got to do some form of a mice. You got to do a kisha b'makel. You have to hit the animal with a stick because that's your mice
in
gneiv.
Well, it's still in his possession, it seems.
Oh, okay, good. That's what we need to get to in a second. What's interesting about this taisvus to me is why didn't the taisvus bring this taisvus as a riot? He brings Rashi, he brings the Mishnah, it seems to be a Mefurash Taisvus.
No, because there you're doing the actual action. Here it's a Chatzah where you're more passive. That's
okay, so there's obviously a difference between the Maisik Neva and Taisvus' case and in Rashi's case, which we'll have to get to in a few minutes. But I'm wondering, because there's a Taisvus in Ksubis, and Daf Lamed, where Taisvus in Ksubis has a Tzad, according to certain Rishonim, that clearly you don't need a Maisik Neva. So it might create a shtickle steer in Taisvus. So maybe the Tzai just stayed off of that and therefore didn't get involved in this. But the Achrenim do point out that Bishop Zalman writes this in Hilchas Gneva Aveda at the end of Perik Beis. He says, what's the difference between Rashi and Taisvus?
One is you're doing a Maisa to the Mechatzer and one is doing a Maisa to the object.
Right, that's exactly the difference. According to Rashi, you need a Maisa Gneva. According to Taisvus, you need a Maisa Gneva. They're all buying into this Yisoid, we'll call it the Tzai, even though it's probably Rishonim before. But the difference is, what do you need to constitute a Maisa Gneva? According to Rashi, you can even do a Maisa Gneva to the Chatzer, which is a Chiddush. Maisik Neva to the Chatzah. I'm not even dealing with the actual thing I'm stealing. Bish Shlomo, according to the Taisis, is much more geshmak. I'm actually doing an action to the Dover HaNignav. According to Rashi, I'm not really doing anything to the thing I'm stealing. According to Taisis, it makes much more sense than what we spoke about earlier. This idea of taking it out of my possession. Because I'm hitting the animal, and by hitting the animal, I'm causing the animal to get out of your possession. That's Gneva. That's or a big element of Gneva. Rabbi Asher Weiss writes in Michas Asher over here, I wrote it on the page. He learns Taisavis like that. That Taisavis means a Kisha B'makal. You know what you did? All the Kisha B'makal is a fancy way of saying is that you created that the animal left his possession and now goes out of his possession. That's a big part of Gneva.
You don't have to physically hit it. You could lure it with me.
We'll see. It's Machlokes Rishonim. What happens if you call it? You call the animal. So that might be telling how you learn the Ketzais versus the Ritva. We'll get to that in a few minutes.
Wait, but that becomes a problem also. Let's say the animal is wandering. Okay, right. So it's already out of
right.
your possession.
Right.
So now I didn't Good. Cause it to leave your Good. Possession, but I brought it into my possession.
100%. So yesh lodim, what would happen if I then smack the animal, putting aside animal rights over here, right? You hit the animal, and that brought it into my chatzah. Meaning it's already out of your chatzah because it wandered on its own. That's why he learns that the Tosis's point was Hikisha Mamaka was to get it out of his possession. Because a big element of Gneva is taking it out of his possession. What we spoke about earlier, this idea of getting it out of his possession. So the Hikisha Bemako was accomplishing what? That I took the animal out of the Rishus of its original owners. That's one element, so to say, of Gneva. What's the other element? Of bringing it into my possession. So in this,
that's not a kinyan in and of itself.
So the Rishash asks that kasha. The Rishash over there asks in Baba Kama, why are you not kinyan al smashicha? The halacha is if you hit an animal, that's a kinyan mashicha. So you kinyan al smashicha, why do you need chatz? So that's the kasha. So other achrenim give various answers. One answer that they give is Zayin Achanami. This guy was set in his mind that he's making kinyan chatz. And he learned Baba Kama, he's so excited to do Gneva of chatz. He doesn't want to use mashicha. That's old fashioned mashicha. I want to be a lomda shagana. I want to do kinyan chatz. So Zayin Achanami, if he would have been open minded and said, I'm willing to be kinyan b'chol kinyan she'efshe, it would have worked. But since this guy was so makbin in his mind, I only want kinyan chatz, kinyan mashicha doesn't work.
So he gets score right down in there.
That's right. He won't be chayiv until he gets into his chatz. But that's the kasha. The Rishash asks this kasha. Some say that's why Rashi didn't learn like Tosfos. Because we keep on asking the kasha. Tosfos seems much more logical, so to say. So why did Rashi come to this funny pshat of closing the door? Because Rashi was stuck with this kasha, because then he'll be kind of mashicha. So Rashi had to be, let's say, more open-minded with how Geneva works, where Rashi calls it you can do some form of a maisa Geneva, even which is Rashi's a chiddush lefize. You can do even a maisa Geneva to the actual chatz.
So Rashi would say for sure mashicha works.
I would say so. Yeah, I would say so. Yeah, depends how you learn Rashi, but yeah, if you're just learning Rashi, that there's somewhere needs a Maisa Gneva, I would think that should be okay.
It seems like nobody is saying that a Maisa Gneva requires both. Nobody seems to be saying that you need two Maisa Gneva.
Correct.
It's one or the other.
Right, it would sound like that to me. It would sound like from these Rishayim that they're both agreeing that you need to do something. Being passive doesn't work. The question is, what is the action that we require of you? Can it be an action to the actual object you're stealing, or is it sufficient to do it to the chatzah, which is hard to understand? What does the chatzah have to do with anything?
But by taking it out of one rishus, is that putting it into your rishus, or is it do you need an act to put it into your rishus? So if you look from Rashi's perspective, it's really taking it into your rishus. Is it
I think Rashi's focusing on much more. This is what Moshe Weiss points out. Rashi's focusing on the bringing into your rishus, and Tosfos is focusing taking it out of his rishus. They're really focusing on the two ends of this Maisik Neva. What's the focal point? Is it the taking it out, or is it the bringing in? So one could make an argument that maybe Rashi holds that hitting the animal is not sufficient. That's just taking it out of his rishus. Maybe we don't care about that. We care more about the entering action. I'm not sure. I think you could shuttle that. But he points it out, Rabbi Shweiss, in Parshas Kedoshim. And the Torah talks about Leisig Noivu. There he talks about this size.
I think Rashi just wanted to be consistent with Get, because we're comparing it to the Get case. So Kinyan
you're right. Rashi's trying to show you that Noble for now is only over there, not by there. That's a good point. I mean, Tosfos over there's agenda was talking about Gnevu.
Sure,
that's a good point. So the Me'iri and Baba Kama, an interesting Me'iri and Baba Kama. The Me'iri and Baba Kama discusses what happens if you call an animal. Let's say there's an animal, a hefker animal on the street, and you call it, and you clap to it, and the animal, you shoo the animal, but no, actually, you don't touch the animal. You don't hit the animal, you don't close the door. You shoo the animal through kriya, you call to the animal, kara lo v'hiba. You call the animal and it comes to your chatz.
He says it's not an action.
Right, I think we can debate that as well. That's considered an action. Pasht is, generally speaking, amira is not an action, right? But, if you're going like the ritva, that the whole action is not really action, it's just to create a mocha chamilsa. So if I'm screaming, come here, right? Everyone knows what you want to do, right?
Maybe according to Tosfos, it says you need a maisikineva, it wouldn't work, whereas the other
right, so I think that would be the simple way of saying is that would be the nafka mina between the ritva and the ktsois. According to the ritva, that would be good, because everyone knows what you're doing. When you're calling the animal, you're saying, come in, we know what you're trying to do, you're trying to steal it. So that would be mocha chamilsa. According to ktsois, if there's some din somewhere in the Torah, that you need a maisikineva, so pastus karula is not a maisikineva. But let's look together at Me'iri and Baba Kama. The Meirim Baba Kama, the Afnun Vavam at Beis, the Gemara over there is discussing, the Gemara over there is really talking about a mazik. The Gemara is talking about, can you become a mazik by just like standing in the way of an animal? The Gemara over there talks about if you stand in the way of an animal, the animal has nowhere else to go, so the animal has to go onto someone else's property, and the animal is mazik that way. So the Meirim talks about the following shaylah. Let's say, you're talking about Kinyan Meshicha. Let's say, for example, you want to sell me an animal through Kinyan Meshicha. So you say, okay, the animal's all yours, you paid me up. Now, what can you do? So you call the animal, say, no, come here. And the animal jumps into the car. That's Kinyan Meshicha. So that's no problem, says the Me'iri. That's good enough for Kinyan Meshicha. However, says the Me'iri at the end, Ule'inyan listim, what about when it comes to being a ganiv? Become welcome kosherly. I'm not so sure that works. Why not? What's the difference? Teretz is good. If you hold like the choice, you understand the difference. Because the same rules for Kinyonim are not the same rules for Maisig Neva. For a Ganiv, you need to have a Maisig Neva. Korolah is not a Maisig Neva. So this Me'iri would be another riot to the choice. Okay. The problem is, if you read the Me'iri further, it doesn't sound like that. He says, in a regular case, they both want to acquire it. V'shem ahoyo v'loy midas b'ilim hi, harei loy dai lahem b'kriya lovat. The Me'iri sounds like he's saying a lamdish difference. When me and you are buying and selling, we're both on board. I want to sell, do you want to buy? So then if you call it, it's good enough. But by Gneva, where I don't have consent of the owner doesn't want to let me have it, so then Kriya doesn't work. That's not the point. The point should be, because by Ganev, you need a Maisig Gneva. What's the extra wording of the Me'iri over here? So many Achronim want to tell you that this Me'iri is a right to the Ktzais. I don't see it at all. If this Me'iri would be a right to the Ktzais, the Me'iri wrote a lot of extra words. What's this whole end of the line? V'loy midas b'ilim, what does that das b'ilim have to do with anything? The point is, you need to do a ma'isig neva. End the story. So from this Me'iri, I think lehepach, it's not a right to the place. The Me'iri is telling us a different lundus, which I don't claim to understand. But the Me'iri is saying that maybe when it comes to something, you need both parties to agree, then this is sufficient of a ma'isig. But when it's only one-sided, then this is maybe not enough of a hechach. Maybe you can make the argument, when I call the animal, it's not enough of a hechach, I'm not sure. But clearly from this Me'iri, you see that he didn't accept the idea of using kriya, calling the animal by gneva, not because you need a ma'isig neva, but only because you don't have both parties involved. And Sarachim, what type of svar is that? Where does that fall into category with what we've been discussing today?
Maybe you only need a ma'isa because there are only one. That, he's saying that's the reason why you need the ma'isa, because there's only one person involved. You have to do more. The Torah wants more than just
whatever.
When you have a meeting of the mind, it's easier
to make a kinyan. I agree. I think that's what he's saying. But Lefiza, he's not telling us the ksus. That's not the Ktzayis is Chiddush, right? Right, 100%. I think that's the Torah.
Okay, it's a part of it.
Right.
It's part of the idea.
When it talks about it, it's like, the Kol Makom Chavon and the Kmiya, does Ganav want to care about a Kenyan?
The Kavan Hele Kinyan doesn't mean Halchus Kinyan. It means he wants to own it.
He wants to own it.
That's what Achrayim talk about over here in the Gemara. That there's a difference between a Ganev and even, let's say, Ganev is Bakarchai, right? Meaning, I don't really want to own it, but I want to steal it.
Right.
That's the difference. By Get, she doesn't want anything. She doesn't want to do this paper. By a Ganev, you might not want to become a Ganev, but you definitely want to steal it. So it's a shtickle in between level of what exactly you want.
Which is why a mirror would not work within the Get situation. Right. So,
which type of a mirror?
Meaning, if I call out to my soon-to-be ex-wife, I send her this paper, and it's ambiguous in terms of where it landed, and just to make sure that the Kenyan is intact, I call over to her and say, "By the way."
Oh yeah, of course, that's not going to work.
Right.
Because because over there you didn't give her a get. The Torah says the way you create gerush is by giving her a piece of paper. You can call her up and have a meeting with her and tell her 50 times over we're divorced. You're not divorced until you give over.
Let's say you sent her the paper. The paper doesn't land where it's supposed to land.
Right, so that's also no good. So you didn't give her the paper.
Doesn't cure that.
In that case, you didn't give her the paper. Right. Now, not everyone agrees to this yisoid of the ktois. To be fair and honest, not everyone agrees to this idea of the ktois. I would venture to believe all the Rishayim who don't say like Rashi and Tosfos disagree with the premise of the ktois. But there are other Achrayim, the Machaneh Ephraim, clearly disagrees with the Ktzois. There's rise in Rishonim against the Ktzois, the Achrayim being a Raif, a Rashi and Ksubas, and a Tosfos and Ksubas, and there's rise all over that it's not correct. Right. That's true. That's going to depend back how you learn the Gemara up here, 100%. How are you going to go back and learn the Gemara is going to affect what we're saying today. Yeah, 100%. Just to mention very quickly some of the rayas, again, I'm not sure how much we're going to get into all this, but the Imre Moshe brings a very strong raya against the Ktzais. From a Mishnah in Bar Metzia as well, the Mishnah in Baba Kama, Gemara Baba Kama. A kofer b'pikadon, a guy's watching an object, and the owner comes back to him and says, okay, give me back my object. I don't know what you're talking about. Object? What object? Nothing, I don't know. Nothing here to see. Nothing going on over here, right? I know what you're talking about. Hakayfi bibikad. The guy denies it. So the Gemara says in Baba Kama, Hakayfi bibikad, it becomes a ganif. Not a gazlan. In fact, it had to become a ganif. Where's the Maisik Neva? We didn't do anything. Where's the Maisik Neva? Zakhti Machan Ephraim, Zakhti Imre Moshe, Zakhti Zvar Avram, you see him over here, there's no such din that you need to do a Maisik Neva. How can a Kaifer Pikadim become a ganif by just saying, okay, I don't know what you're talking about, by just being Kaifer, by just denying the claim? Where's the Maisik Neva? So you see him over here,
but
you don't need a Maisik. What?
Therefore, it's an amira.
Right, but that's not a maisa. Meaning, if the tzoyis is right, if the tzoyis is right, you need to do some form of an action, whatever it may be. There's no action over here.
The action was it came into your possession.
Oh, it was bad terrible the other. But when he took the pikadon, it was bad terrible the other. He took it. He was allowed to.
Right.
But he did. He only changed his mind later.
So lemafreya, you could turn into ganeva by now refusing to read.
Can you do that? That's not so pashut. There's another gemara like that. There's a gemara about mitzvah daf chavov. The gemara says, let's say I'm walking down the street and I see an aveda. I know it's an aveda, and I pick it up and I'm ready to do a Shabbos Aveda. And then I decide, you know what, this is a good object. Forget a Shabbos Aveda, I'm going to keep it. I'm going to steal. It's chav in the guy's life. I picked it up with intent to return it. And then I decide to steal it. So the Gemara says, you're Mevatel Hoshev, the assay of returning an Aveda. So Rashi and Taisa over there, Bamsi asks, very nice. What about the lav of Leisigzel? So all the Rishonim tumul that you're not Avi Leisigzel. Why not? So contradict Taisa. There's no Maisig Neva. That's why you're not Avi Leisigzel. Uh-huh. There's no Maisig Zela. Because when I picked it up initially, I wasn't Zela. And later I decided in my mind, I changed my mind. What does that do? So therefore, that's how you become, that's a riot to the Ktsois. So this Gemara is a couple of places in Shas that might be a riot to the Ktsois, a riot connected to the Ktsois. But keeping this in mind, this is your side of the Ktsois that he holds from our Gemara. He's Medayik from Rashi Be'os that you have to have a din called a Maisig Neva.
It's a shame. The Ktsois is limiting it to this weird case of Kinyan Chatzar. He's not expanding it to all Gazelas, all Maisig Nevas. He's saying in this case, it's unclear whether or
right.
not,
so anytime,
so you have to do a mice, and that.
So let's say the case where the guy changes his mind. Right? No, it's not clear to anyone right. that he changed his mind. In that case, you'd need a mice neighbor more than any case. The guy picked it up with the prior of intentions, and he decided he changed his mind, and now he wants to become a guy.
No, so then somebody comes over to him and says, "You had to give it back." No, it's mine. So he's showing that he's a goslin.
So that's similar to the case of Kaifer Pikadin, right? The Gemara says Kaifer Pikadin. He also becomes a goslin without a Maisig Neva.
Right. So it's not a question on Ksos. Ksos will come back and you and say, no, I'm limiting my.
I just don't know when you know when you draw the line of Mukhamilsa. I don't know.
The fact that he said Pikadin was already a Maisig.
But that wasn't a Maisig Neva. That was a Maisig of.
But it was a necessary. If I go into a store and pay the guy for an item and say I'll pick it up tomorrow, and I walk in tomorrow and he says, what are you talking about? I never heard it. It's the same idea.
But that wasn't a Maisig Neva.
That he accepted the money.
But the Maisa that I did was a Maisa of Etera. I was allowed to do that. I was allowed to pick it up. I had a mitzvah to pick it up. But then I decided to steal it. So when does that change over from a bad act to a good act to a bad act? Next week we're not going to have Shiva. The following week we need to talk more about exactly how Chatzah works and if Chatzah works the same way as Shliach LeKabbalah works. We're going to have to try to figure that out to see if they're working with the same mechanics or if they're working differently. Then, in addition, we have to go weiter to the next subject.